this one. Great to be with y'all. I just had to check and make sure I didn't have to take my shoes off. I was at a church in Korea earlier this year, and you had to take your shoes off before you came up to the platform. It was a very formal place. This was a Wednesday night, so I thought it would be kind of relaxed, but everybody had suits on, and I didn't have a suit. I just had a plaid shirt and a tie that didn't match, and so it was kind of embarrassing that before I went up there, the pastor looked at me and said, "Man, if I had known you didn't have a suit, I would have gone out and bought you one today." So it was a little bit awkward, but I'm glad we can be a little more relaxed. And I actually like to take a picture of the people I'm with, so bear with me. Y'all are a great-looking group.
I just want to warn you, you're going to be as object lessons and as illustrations at your location.
All right, well, Elizabeth and I have had the privilege of working overseas in different places for about 25 years, and we can see the end of the tunnel. So our youngest went off to college this year, so after 35 years, we're finally on our own, and so that gives us a chance to kind of assess where we are and think what we want to do with the last few years we have. But wherever we've been over the years, we've kind of gradually moved further east. We started out working in Eastern Europe, and then we went to Central Asia and Moscow. Getting kind of choked up thinking about all that. Then we went to China, and now we're going over to Korea. But we've always had the same goal, the same motivation. And Paul expresses it well in Romans 15, verse 20. He says to us, "My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. I have been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand." We read that, and it's kind of hard for us to imagine somebody who has never heard the gospel before. I was thinking, in Tennessee or South Carolina, how long would it take for you to actually find a person who had never heard the gospel before or who has never read a Bible before? It might take you a year, I don't know, or you may never be able to find one. Sometimes I like to give Bibles to homeless people on the street corners, and invariably they know the Bible, or they have one, or they'll start quoting scripture or something. So pretty much everybody you meet knows the Bible, knows the message. But our desire has always been to share that message where people haven't heard it. And I think sometimes we almost take it for granted. I want to read a couple of verses from Revelation that just reminds us how great the good news is and what we can also look forward to in the future. As we get older, I'm not as old as some people here, but I'm kind of moving in that direction. And as we get older, it just makes us look more and more forward to getting to heaven and leaving all these, heartaches and hard times that we suffer in this world, leaving them behind. And this is a great picture of that in Revelation 21, the first few verses. I'll read those to you. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne, saying, 'Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will remove all of their sorrows, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. Won't that be an amazing time? For the old world and its evils are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." Excuse me, I get kind of choked up about this. And I think the reason I get choked up is because I realize there are so many people who still don't know that. There's so many people who still haven't heard. Just a couple of months ago, we were in a tourist town near Tibet, not too far from where we live. And I love, when I'm in China, just taking some Bibles with me and just randomly meeting people on the street and asking them where they're from. People are always proud to say where they're from, because in Asia, just like in the Bible, where you come from, your hometown, is very important. And on this occasion, I met this couple. I don't know if you can see this. Just talked to them on the street. It turned out they're engineering students in a university in a major city in China. And they had never heard of the Bible before. And they were so excited when I gave them a Bible. And I chatted with them for a while, and then I moved on down the street. And this guy came running after me, and he wanted to get a picture together. He was so excited about it. And I was just amazed. It just amazed me to think, you know, here's a university student, very intelligent, and he had never heard of the Bible before, you know. We take that so much for granted. And then we moved on down the street, and we came to another street in that same town, and we walked by a little restaurant where there was a lady standing there, and we could tell by her headdress, I think Elspeth might have a picture of her, because where we live there are a lot of minority groups, and you can always tell by their costume and especially by their headdress where they're from and what kind of minority they are. This girl, she has a picture of it there. You can tell by her headdress. I don't know if you can see this real well, but you can tell by her headdress that she's Tibetan. Okay, this round headdress there. And she also had never heard of the Bible before. Pretty much all Tibetans are Buddhists. They're just very steeped in Buddhism. But I was just stunned that day to think, you know, I've just one after the other, I've encountered two people, adults, you know, they're intelligent people, and they have never heard of the Bible before. And that just stunned me. And I don't know. We had that happen a lot in China. Most people had heard of the Bible, but most people we encountered had never read the Bible. They had never owned a Bible. Many people did not know that there was a God that loved them. One time we were on a overnight train, and I love going on those things because you're in a compartment with four bunks, so you have a very captive audience. You know, we have a lot of hours to talk to them and give them the Bible. And I remember talking to one young lady in our cabin. She was from one of the bigger cities in China, I forget where, and we were talking to her, and she just said, "You mean God loves me?" And it just hit me that she had never heard, she had never heard that there was a God that loved her. And I was just, you know, I was just really stunned. And we had that experience frequently in China. And in 2 Peter 3, I want to read a verse. You know, sometimes when we think about heaven and we think about Jesus' promise to return, we wonder why God is taking so long. Why doesn't Jesus come and set things right like he promises he's going to? But in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it's a good reminder. It says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise to return. No, he is being very patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to perish. So he's giving more time for everyone to repent. And so when sometimes when I wonder why God's taking so long, I'm reminded of people like this that we've met who still have never heard of the Bible, who still have never heard the message. And I think that's why God's delaying. He loves everyone so much, and he wants everyone to be saved. And I think we sometimes take that for granted because we have been so blessed with the gospel. We have been so blessed with just learning about the Bible. And I think, you know, Jesus talked about the talents. You know, to one person was given one, to somebody else was given five, somebody else 10. And I really believe that Christians today, you know, because of the internet, because of our education, because of so many things, we have been so blessed. We probably have been given 100 talents. And we don't realize, and we don't take it, we just take it for granted. But, you know, God expects us to use those talents. And someday we're going to stand before him, and he's going to say, what did you use these talents for? And he wants us to use them to tell people like this. And earlier this year, like I say, we're now empty nesters, which is a new experience. And at the same time, in the last couple years, we've been feeling an increasing burden for North Koreans. North Koreans, I mean, we hear about it in the news, but basically, the whole country is almost like a prison or a prison camp, the whole country. And not just physically, but mentally. You know, they are taught to worship their leader. If they are caught with a Bible, if they decide to believe the gospel, they will lose their lives and probably the lives of their families. So they really, you know, in Isaiah 9, it talks about the people who have walked in darkness will see a great light. And if there's anybody walking in darkness today, it's probably the North Koreans. So we have felt an increasing burden for them. And at the same time, as we've said goodbye to the last of our children, we thought, well, maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe we can shift and focus on those people. And so earlier this year, I was on a trip up to northern China, right across the border from North Korea. I actually could get to the border and look across and see people over there, see people skating. It was January. It must have been about minus 20. I don't know. It was bitter cold up there. And my host there, he's actually a guy that we grew up with in Korea, he said, let's go to this North Korean restaurant. There's a North Korean restaurant on the China side, and we went there. He thought it would be an interesting experience. So I met a couple of the waitresses, and I was chatting with them. They had North Korean flags on, and they both said they were from Pyongyang, from the North Korean capital. I asked if I could take a picture of them. No. You know, they were very afraid. I kind of did it while they weren't looking anyway. But I also heard from the guy I was with that those North Koreans that come into China that work in that restaurant, they're never allowed to leave that building because they're afraid they'll escape, that they'll defect. So even there, even though they're in another country, they're kept in prison, essentially. It's just amazing the total control, the total lack of freedom they have. But there's heavy security there along the border because of that, because they know a lot of people are trying to get out. A lot of foreigners go there to try to reach North Koreans. So after my trip there, I thought, you know, that probably is not the best place, because we just wouldn't have the freedom we would want. Later in the year, I had to go to Seoul to meet our book team there, and Elspeth went with me, and we had a great time there. They have some amazing innovations that we could learn from. We went into a gas station once with our host. He got some gas. And right over here, they have a window. It's like Starbucks. You can order whatever for free, whatever coffee you want while you pump your gas. We could learn something from them, couldn't we? It was amazing. So you drive up, you get your gas, and you get, you know, a latte or something else. Wow, I thought, man, this is heaven. I want to move here. But anyway, while we were there, what we actually discovered is there are about 30,000 North Koreans living in Seoul. People who have escaped into China, have made their way around into South Korea, about 30,000. I was amazed that there are that many. And there are more than 10 schools in Seoul, in South Korea, for North Korean students. It's quite amazing, that many. And we encountered one school. It's a little Christian school. We got to know it, and they actually offered to us the possibility of teaching English there. So we've agreed with them, and we're planning to move there at the end of April. So we will be in Seoul, but we will be teaching at a school where all the students are North Koreans, and these are students. Probably more or less from the age 15 to 25, and they just have amazing stories and experiences that you can't imagine. We met one girl. We spent a couple of days there, and we just had a great time with these students. One girl we met, she had fled with her family, and her father was killed on the way out of North Korea. Another girl we met, she came out by herself. She spent a couple of years in China and eventually made her way to Seoul, but she was very closed, and it just made us wonder what kind of trauma she might have experienced trying to get out, coming out. One thing we heard is that a lot of women who come out have to resort to prostitution, because once they get out, they have nothing. They have no contacts, no money. They just don't know how to survive. And even after the North Koreans get to South Korea, they often kind of fall through the cracks. They can't get jobs. The South Koreans kind of view them as immigrants and sort of don't want to have much to do with them. So it's actually a great opportunity for us to reach out to them. And we're kind of hoping we can be like grandparents to these students and share the gospel with them. So that's kind of what we're hoping to do. We really have appreciated you all's support and prayers for us over the years. I've put together a little card with some prayer items on it that, if you'd like, I'll just put them down here. If you'd like to pray, this really isn't so much about us. It's just praying for the gospel going out. But if you want one of these, pick this up after the service. Anyway, we just appreciate your prayers for us. Pray that we ask that you would continue to pray for us, and we just really feel a burden for these people who have not had the freedom that we have to hear the gospel. And I want to just close with this one more verse from 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2:10. Paul had such a passion to reach the lost, you know. And sometimes we forget about that, but those people still exist in the world today. There are still people who've never heard. And this is what Paul says. Paul says, "I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen." Paul was willing to endure anything, to go anywhere for the sake of the gospel. And let's not forget how richly we have been blessed with the gospel. And I would challenge you all. I know you're a very mission-minded group, and I really admire that and appreciate it. But keep challenging yourselves, not just praying for people going out, challenge yourselves that maybe some of you all will go out. One thing great about the world today, with the internet and everything else, travel is easy, communication's easy. The whole world wants to know English. So if any of y'all know English, I'm not a teacher, but I taught English in China. If any of you know English, that's the only credential you need. You can go and share the gospel with people, and it's a great adventure, and it's a great privilege. And thank you very much.